Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, hello, everyone. We'd like to welcome everyone that's tuned in tonight. So far, listen to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, where our pastor and bishop is Pastor Omar Zachary and his lovely wife, Lady Zachary, and their family, the leaders of Praise Tabernacle Church. We just want to welcome everyone. I'm your host and your weekly host, Elder Richard Lee Taylor. And we just got another dynamic speaker. Evangelist Dev Stanton, and she's going to be bringing the Bible study tonight. And we just want to pray with her and for her as she goes through tonight. She's not feeling real well, so we just want to encourage her and pray for her as she goes through the Bible lesson tonight. And we just want to encourage everyone tonight to just get a good word, get a good nugget from the woman of God, and anything that any of the panel members can bring forth that you can use in your life and as you move forward in your walk with the Lord. And you know, and don't forget that we have a email that you can send thoughts and things to, and prayer requests to, and you know, things to encourage our pastor and encourage the panel members, or just share life experiences with what's going on. And we'd like to hear from you, and we'd like to share some things that we can share with the public that may be listening, you know, to our own Praise Tabernacle Church ones that's listening here locally, and then everyone that's listening over in Europe and London, England, and over in Germany and the Bahamas, and listening all over the world. We just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. And we just want to thank God that you tuned in tonight, and to our panel members, the ones that are tuned in so far and the ones that may tune in a little later. We just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. We love y'all and we support you. And we should thank Elder Derek Oliver for all he do for Praise Tabernacle Church and the support that he gives to the ministry. And say thank you, Elder Oliver, for what you do for us as a ministry. And we just want to encourage you as well. So, like I said, we have a dynamic speaker tonight, our own evangelist, Dove Stanton, who is a great speaker and encourager of the word. And she just want to speak to us a little bit tonight. Again, just encourage her because she's not feeling real well. And so it may not go real long tonight, but that's okay. But we just want to hear from our own evangelist, Dove Stanton. His name is Stan. You now have the floor.
Thank you so much, Elder Taylor. I appreciate you. Good evening, everyone. We are so glad that you decided to join us tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. Please do get your pencil, your paper, and your Bible, as I often suggest, so that you can study the Word. We're probably going to be a little short tonight. Like Elder said, I'm not feeling as well, but I'm walking in my healing. I am believing God for my healing, and I thank God for my healing. But we're going to still go forward in the Word of God, even if it's a short time on tonight. I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. And I would encourage everyone on tonight that you should read Matthew starting with chapter 5, going to Matthew chapter 8. This is a series of sermons that Jesus is preaching and ministering along with parables to give an example of what he's talking about. So I would encourage everybody to start with Matthew chapter 5, read through the sermons going up to chapter 8. So Matthew chapter 7, and then we have another scripture, Galatians, if you would mark it, write it down, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Once again, that is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And the word reads in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then on Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I know I've heard this passage of scripture many, many times, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard about the fruits of the Spirit. But I really want us to examine what that really means, having good fruit or corrupt fruit. I want us to really have self-examination on tonight and throughout the week. Study the scripture, study and see where you fit in these scriptures. So I really want us to take a self-examination. The scripture starts off in 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly their ravening wolves. And when I was studying this, Jesus was talking about, we could say ministers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, people who sound good in the word, people who make it look good or sound good, but they're false because inwardly they are wolves. So Jesus is saying, beware of them. And then he goes on to say, how would you be able to recognize them? He says, you shall know them by their fruits. So Jesus is saying the way that you can recognize them is by their fruits. Now, this doesn't happen immediately. This happens over a course of time, because as you see the person or as you be around them, you begin to recognize their fruits.
That's right.
They can't keep it hidden for long. I think Pastor used to say sometimes, just let a person talk, and they will really show you who they are. And in this scripture, you know, they may come and say, yes, this is what I am, but their fruit is going to bear witness to who they really are. It says, do men gather grapes of thorns? So do you go to a thorn tree to get grapes, or figs of thistles? Do you go to a thistle to get figs? When you want grapes, you go to a grape tree. When you want figs, you go to a fig tree. And I was thinking and reflecting on that, and I was thinking about people, the more they are around you and they see the example of your life, they know and kind of have an idea who they can go to. Sometimes I think about Elder Taylor, because I know in his job, he leads the example with his fruit. And he has had several coworkers to come to him and maybe ask him to pray for their family members, or, you know, pray for them because they may be going through something. That's because they see the fruit that Elder Taylor is producing. Now, one thing about fruit is a fruit is something that you produce with the help of the Holy Spirit.
That's
so
right.
I kind of use this example. When you get saved, it's like that tree is planted inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And that tree has those fruits that we talked about in 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So that tree has those fruit on it. Now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you are going to grow that fruit. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you are going to grow that fruit. You grow it with the Word of God. You grow it with prayer. You prune things out of your life so that fruit can grow inside of you. Elder Taylor, do you have anything you would like to say at this point?
No, not right now, but it's coming. You're doing good right now.
Okay. So, Elder Oliver, do you have anything you would like to say?
Not at the moment. Go ahead, sis. But I know, like Elder Taylor, it's coming.
Okay. So that fruit is grown and inside of us with the help of the Holy Spirit. I wrote, the fruit of the Spirit has to do with your spiritual character in the Lord. The fruit is developed gradually as you abide in Christ and yield to the working of the Holy Spirit. That's a key word, yield. We have to yield to the working of the Holy Spirit, not try to do it on our own, not trying to, you know, think that we can do it ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to love. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to have joy, peace, to suffer long, to walk in gentleness. It's the Holy Spirit that does that inside of us and not we ourselves. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. So if you're a good tree and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, working inside of you, you're going to bring forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Okay. So you cannot be a good tree and a corrupt tree at the same time.
That's right.
You're going to have to be one or the other. You're going to have to examine your life to see if you're a good tree or if you are a corrupt tree. I want to say that again. You cannot be a good tree and a corrupt tree at the same time.
That's right.
Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So if you're a good tree, you're not going to bring forth evil fruit. You're going to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So if you're a corrupt tree, you're not going to be able to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have to be either one, either or. You can't be both. I think too often, you know, the expression, you're trying to straddle the fence, probably works here. You're not going to be able to be both. And who would know that more than anybody is God, because he knows what your life is. And we should seek to please God so that we can bring forth good fruit. We should seek and have a desire to do things of God. If your desires are contrary to the will of God, then we need to examine our lives and ask God, where do we fall short? We need to examine our lives and fall on the rock of Christ so that we can bring forth that good fruit.
That's right.
It's not just for us. It's for those around us. We want to be pleasing in the eyes of God. Does anyone have anything they would like to say with up to verse 18?
Yeah, I'd like to add, you want to be an example. You want to set the tone, especially if you want to be that good fruit that wants to draw others to the Lord. And sometimes, a lot of times, people need to see. They need to have something tangible that they can see working, see the Lord working in. And a lot of times there's people that know you personally, that knew you back when, and can see a change in your life and see how you do things now, and because of your relationship with the Lord. And they can see the good fruit versus what they used to see from the bad fruit. So that's what you want. You want people to see a difference. You want people to see an example of who you are now, not who you used to be. They need to see a difference in between who you used to be and who you are now. You know?
Okay.
And for some people, that's a big difference. Some people, that the difference is not so much, you know, because you might not have been a bad person in the world, you know, that you just didn't have a relationship with the Lord, you know. So I believe that's important, that we be an example to others, and people that may be trying to get to know you, people that you work with, to see something in you that makes that shine, that they can see something
right.
in you, be like, I wonder what's going on with Richard. You know, he always
right.
seems happy. He always seems upbeat. He always seems encouraging. He always, not that I always am that way, but it's
right.
just that that's the way you want to be around coworkers, around family members, around anybody
right.
that you come across meet, that they can see something different in you, even if they only talk to you for 2 minutes, or if they talk to you for 22 minutes, that they can,
right.
they can, you know, hear something in your voice, hear something in your tone, hear something that they can see that, you know, is different about that person, you know. So,
Amen. And especially, Elder Taylor, like you were saying, people around you, especially in your home. I mean, it begins
yeah.
at home. You know, people should
yeah.
see the example. People should, you know, in your home, your children, you know, they should see their parents reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God and praying and praise and worship, and the parent encourage their children to do the same so that they could produce good fruit also. It is very important. And like you said, there may be some days, you know, when you're feeling not like it. But you know what? When you allow the Holy Spirit to dwell, He can even change that way that you're feeling. You
yeah.
know, if you're going through something or if something's happening around you and you just submit and surrender yourself to God, the Holy Spirit can bring back that joy and that peace, you know, upon you, and you're like, okay, you know what? I feel like going on. I can do
right.
this. God is strengthening me. And that strength begins to come back, you know, because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and to encourage you and to bring life back into you. And it's so important for us to get into the Word of God, because
mm-hmm.
this is how we cultivate. This is how we cultivate that tree inside of us to produce those fruit, to produce
right.
that fruit. Verse 19, every tree.
Before you go on,
yes.
I want to make a comment
ahead.
Real quick before I lose it. You know, a lot of times, you know, you started out talking about false prophets, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's real deep when you say that, because as Christians, as we move on and we're being led by the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just speaking from experience, a lot of Christians, we put a cap over the bottle and we stop listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, we can
mm-hmm.
talk the talk, and we could say certain things, but we're not living
right.
it. Monday through
right.
Thursday, we could be all holy.
Mm.
But come Friday, we're going to the club with the coworkers to hang out.
Mm.
And then Monday, we got a word for them. And it's the word that
right.
we're just saying, because it's in us, but we're not really being led by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of
right.
us got a lot of religious in us, and we talk it, but we never
yeah.
walk
mm-hmm.
it. And even
right.
as we get older in our relationship with Christ, at some point, we stop being led by the Spirit, and we be led
mm.
by our own will, our own. But people
right.
know he go to church every Sunday, but he's only going out of
right.
religion. He's not getting anything out of it. And it's very important, like you
right.
said, by the fruits that they bear. You can't be
yes.
and listen to this Word of God and just sit idle.
Right.
If you're not, because he's going to have you moving. And when you're moving, the fruit is going to start to bear. But a lot of times, and I'm a witness, I got caught in a season where I wasn't doing anything for the Lord. I was just talking and talking sheep, because you got to have actions behind it. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you.
That's right. And I know, too, you know, when you say false prophets as well, they may sound good.
Mm-hmm.
They may sound good.
That's right.
But inwardly, what is their life reflecting? And it goes back to the home. And our pastor says this a lot, you know, go to the wife. Look at the wife. See what the wife looks like and the children look like. You know, are they sitting back thinking, yeah, you know, on Sunday you get up and you sound good, but when you at home, this is not what you reflect.
Right.
And that takes some, that takes some self-examination. Even for somebody who's been in ministry for years, who, you know, they got a large following. But what are you doing at home? What does your family look like? You know, is your wife thinking, wow, really? I mean, really, is your wife thinking that way? Or is she thinking, I thank God that I do have a godly husband who exemplifies this not only in the pulpit, but in the home.
Right.
And that goes for women too.
Yeah.
You know, evangelists, or, you know, what are you showing in the home? Does your spouse see you praying? Does your spouse see you seeking after God? Does your children see that?
Mm-hmm.
Self-examination tonight. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So if you're not bringing forth good fruit, all you are good for is fire, is the fire.
Yeah.
The fire, hell.
That's right. That's what it's saying.
Hell. That's what you're good for. Good firewood in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Examine yourself. Examine your life. Examine your fruit. What does it sound like when you talk, when you're not around your Christian friends? What does your talk sound like? How many cuss words come out of your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
How many words are not speaking life? What are you taking in? What are you doing?
Right.
Examine your life. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. And I have wrote down this statement. Jesus said we would know people by their fruits, not their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, you can have gifts. There are gifts that God has given you. But it's your fruit that people should know you by.
Yeah, because our gifts are without
people. Amen, Elder. And I actually had looked that up because I've thought about that. And because I've heard that statement, you know, gifts are without repentance. And it's not meaning that we don't have to repent. It's God is not going to repent for the gift that he has given you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we don't have to repent, because we still have to repent.
Yeah.
But it's God not going to, he has given us all gifts. We have different gifts. We may not all have the same gifts, But the thing about we may have different gifts, but we shall all have the same fruit. I'm going to say that again. We all may have different gifts. God may, you know, have given somebody the ability to sing very well or musically play instruments very well. You know, there may be different gifts. I may not sing well, but I should have the same fruit as you have. We all should have the same fruit. People will know you by your fruit. And the thing about it is, when people are around you long enough, you think, you know, that you're trying to keep your stuff undercover. You can't keep it undercover. It spills out of you. It's shown by your fruit. The Holy Spirit reveals it.
Mm-hmm.
Self-examination on tonight. Self-examination. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
Just because you call out the name of the Lord, and there's authority just in the name of Jesus as it is.
That's right.
Just in the name of Jesus, there's power and deliverance, salvation, just in the name of Jesus. But if your fruit does not line up with what you're saying, the word says, you shall, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's how you enter into the kingdom of heaven, by doing the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be real. You've got to be real. You're trying to save face when you're supposed to die to yourself. You're trying to make others.
I was going to say, you have to try the Spirit by the Spirit. You can't try the Spirit by your gifts.
Right.
You know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has to line, your Holy Spirit has to line up with the Spirit of God. You know, have to be in sync, have to be in tune with each other. And whenever we're doing something and we're saying we're doing it for the Lord, and we can't just be in tune with our gifts.
Right.
They can lead us astray. They can lead us the wrong way. We have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto us in regard whatever direction the Lord is leading us in, or whatever word he wants us to share. We have to, and everything that the Spirit tells us may not make sense to us because of our flesh, but we have to trust it and believe, you know, through the Spirit that is from God, you know. And so, you know, we have to be true to ourselves and know the Spirit by the Spirit, you know, and trust it and believe it, and so that we can continue to walk in the things of God, you know. And because we flesh, we may fall off a little bit here and there every now and then, you know. But as long as we know that, and we can combat that, you know, and we can fight against it, you know. So it's like you're saying, it's self-examination tonight. So this is good. So everyone that's listening, I hope that you're getting something out of it tonight.
Amen. Yeah. And that's no longer, go ahead.
No, it's really good. And I've been dealing with something about this because, you know, when we're saying being led by the Holy Spirit and you see him by the fruit, And a lot of times, you know, and someone just told me the other day, I'm not going to say who said it, you know, I worry too much about other people. But when I'm sitting there and I'm trying to do what the Lord is telling me to do and I'm doing it, but when you sit around a group of people, you of believers, and all they do is sit and talk with no actions. They sit and talk with no actions.
Mm-hmm.
Then you wonder to yourself, and then these are people who are ministering to other people. And like I say, the words could be real good, but works without, what's that saying? You do all the talking, but there's no work. And a lot of times we have to be careful. I have to be careful because I have to, whatever the Lord has called me to do, that's what I have to do. And I just can't say I'm an elder and sit up and quote scriptures all day, all year, without doing any work. And when people start doing work, they get offended when you question because they feel like you're pointing the finger at them and you're just asking a question, what are you doing? When your phone rings, are you going to be available to do what the Lord's called you to do? Or do you have to think about it? And that's why when I'm trying to get to the point where I'm doing the Lord's will 24/7. I may only be at 17 hours right now, and I'm working on the rest of the other seven. But at the end of the day, we ought to be doing God's work. And when we're doing God's work, you will see the fruit that they bear. But if you're not doing that and just talking, I believe that's why a lot of people hear false prophets. Because I can say something, but if I'm not doing it, what good is it? It's like when you feed a kid, you tell a kid don't eat sweets before dinner, but they see you eating sweets before dinner, they're going to have a bad taste in their mouth. That's all I'm. I can't go on thinking about this. This is good teaching, evangelist.
That's true, Elder. And it's really something. And I know what I'm getting ready to say probably is going to stir some people up. But, I thank God for our pastor. Our pastor know people name. I have gone to churches where you couldn't even get to the pastor. I mean, you couldn't get to the pastor. It was like because it was like he's so pious, you know, he's got people around him. I mean, you couldn't even get to him to say hello, you know, to shake his hand, you know, not necessarily I need you to pray for me, but to even shake his hand. And it's like, who are you? I mean, you are a shepherd over a flock of sheep where the sheep can't even get to you.
That's right.
You know, and I understand big ministries. Don't get me wrong. I understand big ministries. But when the pastor's not touchable at all, I don't get that.
Right.
Because look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was a servant. Jesus was around the people. Jesus, he didn't sit in the big chair and make it look good.
Right.
Jesus was around the people. Jesus had a life of action, just like you just said, Elder Oliver. Love is proven true by its actions, not by feelings.
That's right.
And not because, you know, you're the bishop. But Jesus gave us the example to be among the people, to talk to people. Jesus talked to everybody. From the hoe to the flow, everybody. He got around people because that was the fruits that Jesus showed us. That's the example that he showed us. So, you know, I mean, like I said, I've been to smaller ministries, bigger ministries, medium ministries. You know, but when you can't even, you know, get to the pastor to say hello, It's like, wow, what's that all about when Jesus gave us the example of being a servant?
Right.
That's when you're really great. It's not about you wearing your long robe with your cross on your neck and you got 10 bodyguards around you. That's not what makes you great. Being a servant makes you great. And then to go even deeper with that, are you being a servant in your home? Are you being a servant in your home? Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Yeah, that's because you did it in the name of Jesus. But what was behind it? The authority is in the name of Jesus. And he says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We often say these are the words that you never want to hear.
That's right.
Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You never want to hear these words. I had pulled up a chart that talked about fruit. And I kind of want to give everybody some scriptures, so I would ask that you write these down and study these. And this is self-examination, like I said, and ask God, are you exhibiting, are you showing your fruit? Are you living your fruit? Are you walking out your fruit? Like I said, love is proven true by its actions. What are your actions saying about you? Fruit is character related. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It's character related. It's a result of a godly life that remains connected to Christ, abiding in him. That's John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. Once again, fruit is the result of a godly life that remains connected to Christ, abiding in him. John chapter 15, verse 4 through 5. Fruit is the result of your conduct, your action, your words, your attitude, and your demeanor. It's produced by the Spirit in the life of the believer who has crucified the flesh, passions, and desires. Once again, it's produced by the Spirit in your life of the believer who has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And that's where we get Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Everyone should have all of them. Everyone should have all of the fruit. We may have different gifts, but everyone should have all of the fruit. Fruit is for the glory of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It's for the glory of God. It's not signs and wonders, but evidence that we are in Christ, that we have come to know him, that we are disciples of his, that we have passed from death to life, that we have been born of God, that we know God, that we love God, that we belong to the truth, and the Spirit of God is within us. And these scriptures that you can look at, John 13, verse 35, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, and 1 John 2:2-5. Fruit is an evidence of your identity in Christ. Fruit is an evidence of your identity in Christ. That speaks loud. I know people say the evidence of having the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That may be a gift that you have, but your fruit evidence that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, living inside of you, working inside of you, producing inside of you. If you walk in love, if you walk in peace, if you walk in joy, if you walk in long-suffering, if you walk in gentleness, if you walk in goodness, if you walk in faith, if you walk in meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. I know people always say with evidence, the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, but tongues is a gift. Fruit is the evidence that you have that tree planted inside of you. That's the evidence. That's when we really know. You can have the gift of tongues to pray, or the gift of tongues, you know, to speak when God has called you to speak in front of a crowd and someone else has the interpretation. But what does your life look like? Are you bearing fruit? And with that, Elder, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir.
All right. That was short and sweet and to the point. That was, Evangelist Stan, that was very good. I really believe this, really, whoever is listening, everyone that's listening, should have been touched by the words that were spoken tonight. Fruit of the Spirit. You know, we got to have it. It has to be an example in our lives and what we live by. And we got to know the Spirit by the Spirit and see if it be of God and not just any kind of old spirit. You know, because, you know, the enemy can come with any old other kind of spirit other than the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And if we don't recognize that, you know, to be what it is, then that's where we get in trouble. So, you know, meekness, humbleness, joy, peace, love, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering, you know, we have to really master those because of the Spirit. And it really helps us in our walk with the Lord and how we deal with when Jesus is dealing with us, how we respond and how we react to him. And then how we respond and react to individual people. You know, what kind of response we give them, what kind of person are they getting when they come to us or when we go to them. So this is a good self-examination tonight. For everyone that's tuned in, we pray that you all have gotten something from the word tonight and something to encourage you and something to look forward to in studying the word more, understanding the word more, acknowledging, you know, what was spoken tonight through the word, you know. So, we just want to get everyone to, you know, do a self-examination of their walk with the Lord. I don't care what your title is. I don't care how long you've been saved or how long you say you've been saved. If you just got saved 10 minutes ago or if you've been saved 30 years, it's always a self-examination. We can always improve our life with the Lord, because we're flesh and blood. that we can always improve our life with the Lord on a daily basis. So just everyone, just be encouraged tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the word. We pray that you be encouraged and that you get well very quickly, that the Lord will continue to heal your body quickly. Elder Oliver, do you have anything you would like to add before we close out?
No, sir. Great lesson, Evangelist. Great lesson.
Praise God.
Okay. Well, everybody that's tuned in and that's been listening, and we pray, again, like I always say, that you get something, some kind of nugget out of the word that you can use from week to week, from day to day, in your walk with the Lord. And again, don't forget to use our email to voice opinions, give a praise report, prayer request, anything that you feel like you may need to know or need to get understanding on, email us. I believe, what is it, Evangelist Pam? Go to
PT.
Christ.
It's ptcforchrist@gmail.com. So ptcforchrist@gmail.com.
Right. So just write that down and email us. And and if there's something you would like for us to go over in the Bible study, we can put that information out there, you know, and share that information with the general public. Okay? You know, or if you don't want us to share it, we won't. You know, you just have to clarify that for us. Okay? All right, well, we're going to close out with a prayer. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God. We thank you for the spoken word tonight, the rhema word tonight, Lord God, and that you be glorified in everything that was spoken and said, Lord God, and that we honor you, Jesus. We give you all the praises. We give you all the glory. It's not about us ourselves, but it's about you that worketh through us. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for Evangelist Bell Stanton, that you continue to heal her body, anoint her body, Lord God, continue to touch her mind. The same with Elder Oliver, the same with myself and the other panel members that may be listening but not on right now. And if you touch every believer, everyone that's listening, every believer and every non-believer that could be listening tonight, Lord God, that you touch their heart, push their hearts, Lord God, to be a better them, Lord God, and that you can get the glory out of their lives, Lord God, and so that they will never have to hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Those are words that we really never want to hear from you, Jesus, that you continue to deal with us, you know, and that we may continue to self-examine each other and self-examine ourselves, Lord God, you know, and that we can always have a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us each and every night. So on behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, his wife, Lady Zachary, I'm Elder Taylor. We just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. From wherever you're listening, wherever you've tuned in tonight, for sharing your time with us here at Praise Tabernacle Church. If there be nothing else, we consider yourselves dismissed. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, you there? Oh.